Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first census of its kind, and it took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone had to go to their own ancestral town to be registered. And so it was that Joseph went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee down to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem. He went to be registered with his wife, his betrothed rather, and she was pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for Mary to deliver her child. And she gave birth to a son. He was her firstborn. And she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now in that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, joy that all the people must share. This day, in the city of David, a Savior is born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And all at once, there was, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts, all praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to all whom God loves." And when the angels had left them and gone back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now and see this thing which the Lord has made known to us." And so off they went. And they found Mary, Joseph, and the child lying in the manger. And when the shepherds saw the child, they repeated everything that they had been told about him, and everyone who heard them was amazed at what the shepherds had to say. As for Mary, she treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, giving glory and praise to God for all they had heard and seen, for it had all happened exactly as they had been told. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Shepherds and wise ones will kneel and adore him. Seraphim round him their vigil will keep. Nations proclaim him their Lord and their Savior, but Mary will hold him and sing him to sleep. Candlelight, angel light, firelight, and star glow shine on his cradle till breaking of dawn. Gloria, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Angels are singing. The Christ child is born. What wondrous thing is happening tonight? This night that is unlike any other night, this night so sacred and so holy. It's stunning, really, that after 2,000 years, we still know this night to be different from any other. We're drawn here for some reason. Perhaps it's a desire to find the true meaning of Christmas. Perhaps a desire to find or feel God's presence rather than absence. A desire to question or doubt or wrestle with God until God blesses us. Perhaps we remember our childhoods. Whatever our individual callings, we are here because everything that is holy and sacred and beautiful and loving is calling to us tonight. And something in us wants to respond. A long time ago, thousands of years ago, a young couple traveled nearly 100 miles from a little town called Nazareth to another little town in Palestine called Bethlehem. Just like everyone else in occupied Palestine, they had been ordered by the Roman government to go to the place their family had come from in order to be registered so that they could properly pay their taxes. Under any other circumstances, they never would have traveled so far, the young woman being so very pregnant and the journey being so very long. They were late in arriving, having been particularly careful along the way. And by the time they got there, all the rooms had been let, and there was nowhere for them to stay. It seems an innkeeper offered to let them stay in his stable where at least they would be warm. And it was in that stable, on that very night, heaven and earth met, when a precious baby boy was born, and the world was forever changed. But the extraordinary intimacy of a heaven and earth, of human and divine, of mother and child, is not always what we experience at Christmas time. Sometimes we experience a whole lot of angst born of too much shopping and shoving and rushing and honking and cooking and wrapping and running six ways to Sunday to get the seemingly endless tasks we think we must get to. The holiday season can feel stressful and chaotic and even crazy-making as we try to do all of the things we've decided need to be done, as we try so very hard not to disappoint anyone or to be too disappointed ourselves. We want so badly for it all to be perfect and beautiful because that's how Christmas is supposed to be, right? Somewhere inside ourselves, we know that is how Christmas is supposed to be. We know it is miraculous and mysterious and magical. Yet somehow we think we have to make the miracle happen. But we don't. The miracle already happened. Right here, right now, it's time to let loose of all the things we've done and left undone. To come away from the cacophony of the world, to rest in the beauty and the mystery of this holy night. Tonight, we sink into the unspeakable wonder of God come from heaven, not just to be with us, but to be one of us. Tonight, we remember the unspeakable love born in a stable in Bethlehem so long ago. Tonight, we remember that the God whose name is love has come among us to show how dearly beloved we are. The God who promises that no matter how things appear out there in the world, God is in the midst of all of it. And though God only knows how, ultimately, love will win. It's hard sometimes to see how love wins in a world where people are starving, where elders are homeless, where children are taken from their families, where poverty breeds hopelessness, where immigrants and refugees are not taken in. Jesus was born into a world very much like that, and in some very dire circumstances of his own. Emperor Augustus, who reigned at the time, was unconcerned about immigrants and refugees, unconcerned about people who were poor, homeless, starving, or mentally ill. He had no idea what life was like for people unlike himself, and no interest in finding out. So it's interesting that the story starts with him and his executive order that sent everyone packing to their ancestral homes. What does that have to do with a homeless, at least for this night, unwed teenage girl giving birth to her firstborn child in a messy stable in a tiny town in Palestine? I suppose it's the fact that from the very beginning, the ones who appear to hold all the power are not actually the ones with the power at all. Or at least the power they have is not what ultimately will change the world. As it turns out, the world changed when an insignificant and unwed Palestinian teenager gave birth in a stable to a little baby boy. Because in that baby boy, heaven and earth, human and divine, love and more love was born. And there is simply no power greater than love. And that, my dears, is the message of Christmas. That even in the bleakest times, even in the most dubious circumstances, and especially in the most unlikely people, God shows up. It's hard to believe that God would be paying attention to a young, unwed, homeless mother when the rest of the world was falling apart. The world Jesus was born into was one of horrible political manipulation, rampant racism, insatiable greed, cruel power mongering, and a complete and utter lack of civil public discourse. And still, in the midst of all that turmoil, God actually noticed one seemingly unimportant young woman and invited her to be the God-bearer for the entire world. That's just exactly how God is, you know. God is forever using ordinary people to make the world extraordinary. What happened in that stable in Bethlehem was not a one-time event. God was not born once, and that was that. God, the God of everything that ever was or ever will be, is being born in all the circumstances of our lives, no matter how messy they are. It's good for us to remember that God was born in a mess. The God born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, the God who is being born in each of us tonight, is the God whose name and being and purpose is love. Sometimes people tell me they don't believe in God, and when I ask them about the God they don't believe in, they tell me about a God of judgment or wrath and indignation and indifference, a God who keeps score, who punishes the bad people and rewards the ones who seemingly behave. I don't blame them for not believing in that God. I don't believe in that God either. That is not the God I know. The God I know and experience came into the world as a precious baby boy to people who were so unimportant as to be practically insignificant. They couldn't even get a room at the inn. Do you see why that matters? It means that God is for everyone, everywhere, and that Christmas means all of us, each and every person in the whole wide world is beloved. Everyone, no exceptions. God's love is so deep, so rich, so broad that no one can possibly be left out. God's love was born into some pretty messy circumstances in that stable. And God's love continues to be born in all of the messy circumstances in the world. God loves all of us, especially when we feel unlovable, because it's when we're feeling unlovable that we need love the most. My prayer this Christmas Eve is that you, each and every one of you, will know yourselves to be utterly beloved of God. I pray that the message of Christmas, the good news that God is love, that God is always with us, that God never gives up on us, that God will go to any lengths to be with us, will embed itself deeply in your heart. This God of love, this God of absolutely everything, from before the beginning until long beyond the end, came from heaven to be with you, with you, with you, with you, with all of you, and to be with everyone beyond these walls too. You are God's own treasure, and so is the person beside you, and the person beside her, and the person beside him, and so on, and so on, and so on, until every single one is accounted for. When God came to us in the form of that very human baby boy, we humans became divine too. Now we are the place where heaven and earth meet. Now we are the God-bearers. Now we are the ones who bring God's love into the world. And so I pray that you will treasure God's love in your own hearts and carry it with you as you go out into the world. And as God has so loved and so richly blessed you, may you go and be a blessing in the world God loves so dearly. Amen.